We are up to more Klalim. Klalei HaPoiskim part 2. So last time we'll just recap for a moment. There's excellent, many works are written on Klalei HaPoiskim. Why does it actually, who cares about Klalei HaPoiskim? Because if they're true, right? If they're true, the problem is that they contradict themselves right, left, and center. Okay? But if many of them are pretty pushy, the fancier ones is when you get stuck and you get caught when they contradict each other. But they really have many, many halachic ramifications. So you need to know exactly what each one means. When the Mechaber says, you know, Stam, he says an opinion without anyone who differentiates, with anyone who disagrees, and then he says, V'yei Shomrim, so what's halacha? Does he pass like the Stam, or does he pass like the Yei Shomrim? Okay, so that's something we spoke about last week. If anyone's interested, we'll pass along the recording. So, where does this all come from? Who speaks about these things? So one of the most basic and simplest places to start is the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim was a prolific writer. Rabbi Yosef Tumim, we're going to get to him 1 week, and he wrote many Sfarim on Chumash, on Sugyas, on Halacha, on Shulchan Aruch, on... So one of the things he writes is also Klalim. It's 2 pages. This one that we're going to go through is 2 pages. In the new Shulchan Aruch HaBohir HaChadosh, so they put it at the beginning of Yerodea. Some of them put it at the end of Erchaim. Some of them put it at the end of the Basar B'Cholov section. Everyone has it somewhere else. But if you look, it's Hakdamas Rabbeinu Baal Prima Gadim. And he says over here, Klalim Bohiras Iser V'Heter. This is what we're going to be going through whenever the chance avails itself, whichever Mondays are available. Maybe we'll continue. And excellent work that really hits every single point. Now, what have we gone through so far? We went through the first 2, and that was about Stam v'yeshomrim halachas kistam, meaning if he says an opinion, he says no one disagrees. And then he says v'yeshomrim. So the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is that he goes like the first opinion. Okay? Now, what is v'yesh mishomrim? What does it even mean? There were a few conditions to that. But if we find an explicit Shulchan Aruch, this is an exception that the Prima Gadim spells out, an explicit Shulchan Aruch that negates the Stam and goes with the other opinion, the V'yei Shomrim, so that breaks the rule. Right? Every rule, right, is not necessarily... The rules here, it sounds like semantics, I said this last time, but it's a very, very big difference. The rules are not meant to be broken. Many of these rules may have exceptions. But meant to be broken, a rule that's meant to be broken means it's faulted from the start. Right? These rules are meant to be followed and they have exceptions. Yeah? Okay. So that's one of the klalim that when it says stam and then it says v'yeshem, we go like the yeshem. Okay. Like the stam. Then he brings another... We're gonna jump around a little bit, yeah? Because each one is really like a whole discussion. So now the shadow is like this. We have something, we have a concept in halacha of a svek sveka. A svek sveka is when you have a double suffik. A double suffik. Now how do we create these double svekas? So, whoever learned ksubis, daf tes, that tesis, there's so much raid, svek sveka hamisapech, and sveka shavos, and there's all the Chef Schmeitzes and the Rav Shimons and all the good stuff, lots and lots of raid about svek sveka. But on an elementary level, svek sveka means that there's two svekas. Safek, if the fork fell in to this mixture, and even if it fell in, suffik if it was hot enough to be yatzei ledes. So that's called a double suffik. I'm not even sure if this fork fell in. Suffik number one. Suffik number two, and maybe even if it fell in, there was soap. Or even if it fell in, it wasn't hot enough to cause a halachic issue. That's a svek svek. Double suffik. Okay? Now what about like this? Sexta can be Matir Dereises. Yeah, Sexta is Matir Dereises. Now, yeah, so Zinsa, that's a Dereisa. So now, this is where it plays out as follows. What if I have a machloikas between the Mechaber and the Ramah? The Ramah being the Machmir, and you're Ashkenazi. Can I throw into a suffix if this storyline happened, and even if it did happen, suffix maybe the Mechaber is right, and the Ramah is wrong. Is that a Sfek Sfeika?
You mean one of the Sfekas is a Machlekas HaPesach?
Yeah.
But that we go the Ramah is only the Suffolk?
Says the Prima Gadim in Oisvav, he says a very sharp thing. He says that when Klal Yisrael is Mekabel the Hoirah of a Poisik, this is very gray in modern times, but let's talk about the Ramah for a moment. Yeah? Because no, Yidden don't agree about anything. Yeah? But let's talk about the Ramah. Ashkenazim were Mekabel the Ramah as their Rebbe. Period. Sfarim have Maran Bet Yosef, and we have the Ramah. So, that we have the Ramah, how binding is that, says the Prima Gadim? It's so binding that there's no other suffix. You can't even be mitzarif a opinion of the Mechaber, who disagrees with the Ramah, depending on each case, as another suffix in your Sexeika, because Hoyroisav were neskablu bechol tfutzois ha'aretz.
Now, what happens if an Ashkenazi Pesach argues on the Ramah?
Then you do. Let's say the Shach. There are times when you have a Shach and a Taz that negate. It's not so rare. The Ramah says a Psach, so we're Ashkenazi. The Ramah is the Ramah. We have to be Mekabel anything he said. But what if I have a Taz, a Shach, a Vilna Goyin, who say, what is the Ramah talking about? We disagree. Can I go and say in my building of a Sfek Sveika, that would be one application where it would manifest, am I allowed to go and say that maybe this didn't happen, and even if it did happen, maybe I can go like the Shach, not like the Ramah? That is allowed. Because the Shach, it was Niskablu, his Psukim in Klal Yisrael, and the Ramah, so that's a bona fide suffix. But the intertribal jump is not allowed. So that's another cool klal that the Prima Gadim goes through. Yeah.
I was going to say something like that. Let's say like Ashkenazim, and if there's multiple branches.
So now this is where it gets very gray.
Like a Hasidic halacha and.
This is where it gets very gray, right? That's why I was covering my back by saying that let's talk about the Ramah. Because, right, can I do Sfek Sveikas? We're not going to use names of anyone we know, yeah? Let's do a generation back. Samir Rebbe and Rebbe Moshe, they have a machlokes. So can I say that one's psukim were niskablu in Klal Yisrael more than the other? You're going to get someone really upset.
The individual.
Again?
Went to MTJ and went there for 20 years and you're a real Moshe, Nick.
And what if I went to MTJ and I was a closet chusid and I was in MTJ for 20 years and then I went to Satmar and it's like, what's together? It's about being Mekabel, the Hoyrois.
My personal.
This is discussed. Meaning, when do you have to. What? Kloli Hoyra, right? You follow your Rebbe. So what creates a Talmud? It has many halachic ramifications. This is not just like cheesy, I want to be a Talmud. It's halachically binding. Because if your Rebbe goes and says X, so then even if you find Y, it's irrelevant. Right, you shouldn't be asking why. That's a different sugya. Because that's Chacham Shehoira. Right? You're not allowed to go and ask another rabbi. There are many, many exceptions to that rule. Okay? One of them, Divrei Chaim famously says that maybe age, you could throw an age. Yeah.
The second one's older.
Yeah, the second one's older. Or nowadays, it's not really a psak because some things are just straight Shulchan Aruch. Or, right? Okay, yeah.
You said you weren't looking for me. You came across the opinion this year, though, like,
no, but now
X, Y, and Z, and then you're in a shir 2 weeks later.
So then you're posed with that dilemma. What do you do? Right? Okay. So now, as follows. Let's do one more. This is a fun one. Yeah? This is a fun one. The Prima Gadim over here also goes through chronologically which work came first. And the Prima Gadim goes through history. Straight history, trying to figure out what was written first. The Ramah's Teres HaChatas or the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef or the Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef's additions or corrections to the Beis Yosef, which are the Bedek HaBayis, or which was written first, the Bedek HaBayis or the Shulchan Aruch. Who cares? So, when there's a stira, we always go, the klal, this is one of the biggest klalim in the klal HaPesukim, halacha kibasra, definitely in one person, right? Later opinions, right, we're still making, definitely in the Gemara like that, halacha kibasra, the Rishonim always say that about the Gemara regarding the Amoraim. He was a later Amoraim, we passing like him, because he took all the opinions and still came out like that. And within one person, if I wrote a work when I was 25, I wrote another sefer when I was 40, I wrote another sefer when I was 65, and in 65 I negated what I wrote when I was 20, you go with 65. Because that work is my latest work.
Sometimes there's people on the side who say what he's saying now isn't true and it's a misprint.
Based, okay, fair, but what about the author himself? Meaning, let's say the very author himself, I'm following this and this author. He says in his first work, like this, X, then he says Y, and then he goes back to X. Can I assume?
Wait, he first says X, then Y.
Okay, I'll give you an example. Okay, I'll give you an example. There's one case, that's a very fun case. And, yeah, I only went into this case because you weren't here. And you have to be with me. We just spoke about this case. So one fun klal is... Okay, fine. So I hope... one fun klal is, halakhically speaking, which work came first. So he has over here, the Prima Gadim goes and says that the Teres Chatos was written... Here we go. Oh, another cool thing I forgot to write. Okay. We'll continue another time, Ritz Hashem, about the final words of a Ramah. How come the Ramah sometimes nails it in? And that's the next one we're up to. We're up to Zion. I want to get into that next time. How come sometimes he nails it in and he says, ve'ein l'shanois, and he drives it home, and other times he just says, v'yeshayimrim, otherwise. So is that to tell you that a v'yeshayimrim without a slam dunk is of lesser binding nature and lesser weight than when he nails it in? Why is he nailing it in? And why do we have a discrepancy? Fine, that's another discussion. We're going to do it next time. But I want to share with you one cool point, which might be chazara for some others. In Bas B'Chalof. Bas B'Chalof, Simon Tadihei, we have a case of Nat Bar Nat. Okay, Nat Bar Nat. We're going to run through this in about 2 minutes. So you're going to get the whole Nat Bar Nat al Regalachas. We did this on Sunday mornings, yeah? So Nat Bar Nat, there's a case over there we mentioned about, are you allowed to plan something out of the Chachila? Plan something out of the Chachila. Can you go and deliberately make something pariv, knowing I want to make it in my fleshik pot, to then take it out of my fleshik pot to eat it with milchiks? Are you allowed to do that? I want knee-jerk reactions.
This definitely sounds off.
What?
Definitely sounds fishy.
It's Asur Gomer, because we are Ashkenazim and the Ramah's Machmir. What? We are Ashkenazim, we are Mach. Okay? There's two different levels within that. Can I plan it out and premeditate it, the whole entire thing? Or if it already happened and now I already cooked it and I'm midway, can I go and now eat it with milk because, oh, it was a mistake? So the Mechaber is Mekel that if it's a midway, lechatchila, meaning I'm halfway through the story, but now I have the next step, may I go and eat it with my milkshakes? The mechaber is mekel. I put it into this pot. It was fleishik. Okay. And then I realized, oh shoot, I was planning on having this cake that was in a pan, a fleishik, a pan or fleishik, a whatever. I was planning on having it with my coffee. Oh shoot, b'di'evan, post facto, before you mix it, you may go and mix it. Says the mechaber. Now, but are you allowed to go and premeditate and plan out? I want to go and do this, to go and do that, to have my fleishik and my cake and eat it too. Yeah, the mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to. He quotes the Gemara, Dagim She'alu, that they already went up and were on. They were found on the plate. It's post facto. It doesn't say you're allowed to put them on the plate and create the scenario. But the Bedek HaBayis writes that you're allowed to go and play out the whole scenario from beginning to end. Which one was written first? Well, who cares? This. Are you allowed to go and do it? Right? You want to know what's halacha for Sfardim? So, if you look in the Kaf HaChaim, from Sfardi fame, Kaf HaChaim, he goes and he writes that, of course, the Bedek HaBayis was written before he actually wrote Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch was the latter opinion. And therefore, we go like the Basra of the singular person. It's the Beis Yosef talking himself. Therefore, you're allowed to assume that he's Machmir. He contemplated such a option, and he was Machmir. Whereas Rabbi Avadya goes and says, no, the Bedek HaBayis was written later. The Prima Gadim sides with, he's before both of them. He actually goes like the Kaf HaChaim. Rabbi Avadya says he has countless rayas that the Bedek HaBayis is written later, and he's make. So this is another reason why it actually could have halachic ramifications, knowing which work came first. And then he goes through, if you look at the Prima Gadim, which we'll do in coming weeks, whenever the opportunity avails itself, the Rashba from Tshuvas to Pirushim, the Rush from Psakim to Tshuvas, and each one, you have to know which one came first to be able to understand when halachic ramifications will have differences. Kol Tov. Have a wonderful week.